So, hi guys, and welcome to the Diabetes Chat Night Book Club, first ever book club. Buzzing, cannot wait. So, we have some wonderful guests on the night, and I'm just going to start with some light introductions and then let the guests just share a little bit about themselves throughout the night. So, tonight we have Gary Max from The Adventures of Captain Lantis, and I am sure many people on this chat already know who this is because we already love the books. And we love everything about Gary and Max, so I can't wait to hear more about that. We also have tonight Jade. So we all know who Jade is. Everybody knows Jade. We are buzzing to hear from Jade. And we have got Joe tonight, who, I am going to be honest, I don't know a lot about Joe, but I cannot wait to hear all about Joe and all about the amazing adventures and everything about the book and everything. So I will start by saying it's me and Claire that are going to host tonight. So this is Claire's first night and my first night. This is Claire's first night ever, my first night back after a very long extended holiday. So I'm just going to get everybody to start. So we'll just start with Gary and Max. Just can you give us a wee introduction about yourself and a little bit about yous as a father-son? And then we'll just go along and do it that way. Then we'll start asking some questions about books, the book and things, and like share a little bit of knowledge with it.
Okay, thanks Gary, thanks, good evening everybody. So it's Gary and Max, like you say, father and son. We are, obviously we've created The Adventures of Captain Lantis. Our connection, what's our connection with diabetes, Max? So what happened, when was you diagnosed?
About 18 months old, so that would be about
8 years ago?
Yeah, I think 8 years ago.
8 years ago?
That would probably be the answer.
That probably, yeah. So Max was diagnosed when he was 18 months old. He went on to an insulin pump when he was, how old was you?
About
three.
Yeah.
So Max was put on an insulin pump when he was age three. Really just because me and my wife struggled to control his blood sugar at the time, and it was all over the place. So it was our best option. It's not the best option for everybody, but for us at the time it was. And then how we got to where we are a little bit, when Max was six. Do you want to share your idea, Max?
Yeah. So when I was at school, I saw this storybook that I really wanted to do. So that inspired me to make the book. And I said to my teacher when I was six, I'm going to make a book. She asked, what about? I didn't know yet. So I came back home. I said to my dad, Dad, I want to make this storybook about diabetes. He said, that's fine. And we just wrote a couple of pages doing it for fun. But then my dad thought that we could actually like make this into a book. And now we're all over the world.
So what was your connection though? For why did you come up with the idea? Who did you think it was like? Who did you think you were like? Because you've got an insulin pump.
Iron Man, because his chest keeps him alive.
Like your insulin pump.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's us. So we've been on a mission for the last 2.5 years now. And like Max said, you know, we've been sort of donating this book in all around the world. It's everywhere, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's been a real positive to something really negative. So Hello, everybody.
Thanks very much for that, guys. And again, great inspirational story. And everybody here is obviously amazed as much as I am, because I couldn't imagine at 6 years old thinking about sitting down to want to write a book about something that was a challenge to me. And still to this day is a challenge to me. So great respect to you, Max, for all the work you're putting in and all the help you're giving people that are struggling just now or just feeling lost and alone and need something just to encourage them to know that everything's going to be all right. So that is excellent. So we're going to move on to Jade. So, sorry, Max, thanks very much. So we're going to move on to Jade. So Jade, we all know who the wonderful Jade is. So Jade, can you share a little bit about yourself and your connection to diabetes and a little bit of info about your book as well?
Yeah, of course. You're making me feel a little bit famous there. You say we all know who Jade is.
Well,
maybe you don't.
I don't want to say, but you are kind of famous. Everybody in here tonight is kind of famous to us. So We just don't want you to feel special.
Thank you for having me. So yeah, I am known as on social media as Pricks Official because it all started with a stage show called Pricks. But I have type 1 diabetes myself. Was diagnosed back in 1989 at 4 years old. It was back in the old school days. I decided to write my children's book Daisy Donald back in 2019. It came out on World Diabetes Day in 2019, and I wrote it. The reason for writing it was I always felt that my parents did a fantastic job of kind of making me feel great about type 1 and how they always made it feel like it was my superpower. And I lost my mum, who was probably my biggest advocate, back in 2019. And I decided that actually what I wanted to do was give every child with type 1 a little bit of my mum and her kind of mindset and it all. And also to create not a book, just a book that supports the type 1 community, but also educates people who pick it up who aren't type 1 as well. So that was why Daisy Donald was created, and she's done like fantastically well, and she goes all over the world every week. I sell copies all the time to as far as the US, all over Europe.
That's kind of what happened to Daisy Donald, and I don't want to say too much because like that might come through a question later about what's going to happen next and stuff. But so that's me. I'm Jade. I have had type 1 for almost 34 years now, and Daisy's one of my babies. I'm a storyteller. That's what I do, and this is an actual physical children's storybook.
Well, how amazing is that, Jade? And do you know what? It's amazing that you are keeping your mum's memory on, not just for you, but for everybody in the community by sharing your mum's strength and understanding of diabetes and understanding of how something that can be so challenging for people, how to make it positive. Just very similar to Max's story, you're sharing your mum's experience and your experience of how your mum made you the person you are and helped you understand diabetes in a completely unique way to you. And I think that's fantastic to hear. So, and I'm sorry to hear about your mum, but I am sure your mum would be super proud of you looking down, watching you and seeing all the great things you're doing to help people.
I like to think she would. Thank you.
And up last but not least, we have Jo. And as I say, I don't know much about Jo, but I am so excited to hear because I have heard some great things. So I would love for Jo just to share a little bit, just the same, a little bit about yourself, share with the community insight into your book, a little bit about your book and your background and connection to diabetes.
Yeah, perfect. Hi, Gary. No pressure. That was quite the intro. And also just to echo what Gary just said, I mean, just from listening to you guys for the last sort of 15, 20 minutes, so inspirational, some of the different stories. And I said, Gary and Max and Jade, sounds like you're doing amazing things. So well done. So my story is actually a little bit different. So I'm traditionally a teacher. And I've taught kind of across various SEN and secondary schools and sixth forms. And I actually came up with sort of a dream really to create a series of books a few years ago, which basically raise awareness and normalize a huge range of conditions. So whether that's diabetes, epilepsy, ADHD, autism, Tourette's and so on. Because for me, as a teacher, I just found there was such a huge lack of understanding and knowledge across all children, really, sort of mainstream as well, that of really common conditions and things that children have in the class. So I just wanted to kind of create a range of characters, a range of books to help normalize these conditions, raise awareness, remove the stigma. So that's kind of my mission and my journey. But as I said, it's inspiring listening to all you guys already, and it's an absolute pleasure to be here. So I appreciate you having me on.
Thank you so much for that, Joe. And I am not disappointed. Everybody that's been on the chat tonight has been fantastic so far. And it is excellent to hear that there is somebody that's in education that is trying to break down the barriers and the stigmas that people with conditions that are invisible that you don't necessarily see. It's amazing to hear somebody's trying to break the barriers and make people with these conditions, whether it be diabetes, ADHD, Tourette's, autism, anything like that, trying to make their life feel as easy as possible without all these challenges. So that is fantastic to hear. So the next thing we're going to jump into is, and this way we're going to do it a little bit uniquely, I'm not going to shout yous all out, so I'm going to let you just talk it out and let us know a little bit about it. So whoever wants to go first, just jump in and say, I'm ready. So the first question we want to know is, what is the book called? And where did the idea of writing the book come from? And why did you want to do it? And what motivated you all to do it? And I know that we've shared a little bit about this, but it's more a little bit more in depth of why you felt that that book was needed, or this bit of knowledge was needed to be shared. So whoever wants to go first, just fire in and start.
Happy to go if everyone's all right with that, Gary and Max.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go for it, Gary and Max.
Is that all right? You sure? Or the ladies first?
No, you go.
Okay. So yeah, the idea of Captain Lance is obviously, like Max was saying, was his sort of Max's creation of it, really. And it's when he said to me about his insulin pump being like Iron Man's chest. And in those words, coming from a six-year-old, saying, does that mean I'm an Avenger? And it just took me back to when Max was three. Because when Max was fitted with an insulin pump, like you said, he was diagnosed at 18 months. So for me and my wife, it was like starting all over again. And Max was absolutely petrified of it. Like proper... I mean, can you remember it, Max? Can you remember when you first had your pump fitted?
I think so, but not quite. No. Maybe like little bits.
Little bits. So yeah. So Max was scared. He's you know, a three-year-old boy, absolutely confused about what this thing was stuck in his stomach and what he was wearing around his waist. Now, for us as adults, for us as parents, we had everything. We had everything we needed, from phone numbers, information, everything. So when Max came up with this idea, I just thought, how amazing would it be to bring that idea to life? And it was just before the first lockdown it was. And I didn't know whether I was going to have a job or anything at the time, because lockdown was coming and the business I was working for then wasn't sure where we were going to keep going. So I sat talking to my wife and Max went to bed and we were sort of talking about it. And I just said, how amazing would it be if we had a storybook about a superhero that gets his superpowers from his insulin pump? And if I had that when Max was three, he would have been running around the front room, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
So how is in the book, and going off what you were saying yourself, Jade and Joe there, it's something that's really key for this book. And what a real positive from it is that, because your friends at school love it, Max, don't they?
They don't just love it, they adore it.
They adore it.
Yeah.
So because this book's at school, it's allowed Max to, just touching on what you were saying, Gary, it's allowed Max to open up about his condition so that his friends from the age of six, really, they're so far into the character and Max, because they see Max as Captain Lantus. There was once a time where there was kids asking him if they could have an insulin pump like he's got. And we were like, no, you really don't want one of those. But... because they saw it as something different. So Max has never, ever felt the need to hide away, as just on time there, like beeps, yeah. As we're talking. There you go. You pressed it. There you go. So it's literally allowed Max to open up and talk about the condition as well. So it's been a real positive. And we do a lot for like the JDRF stuff as well, don't we?
Yeah.
With the book.
Mm-hmm.
So that's it, yeah. So that's where it's come from. That's the idea. That's why we wanted it to come to life. And, you know, when we see children, you know, in Los Angeles and Australia, America, it's just unreal, isn't it, Max? Really, really good. What do you
really
think?
Really good.
Good.
I think that's awesome. Go on, Jay,
I was going to say, I think you hit the nail on the head there when you were saying that Max wished he'd had it at 3 years old. And I think that was the whole kind of reason why I wanted to write a book, because I'd never had a book when I was 3 years old that represented me. I never saw a type 1 diabetes character in television, anything at that age. And I think that was one of the reasons why I really wanted to write Daisy Donald. Also, I always say, if you want to change the world, let's start with the youth, because they're going to change it going forward, kind of thing. They're the people that are going to make change. And they're probably, Max, don't take this the wrong way, but you're probably the easiest people to mould as well, because you're not setting your ways already. So if we can get this message out to kids, and then when they're older, they can pass it on to the people younger than them, and it just goes on from there, doesn't it? So... Yeah. Max, it's a pleasure to hear your voice again. It's so nice to hear you on here.
Thank you.
Yeah. I think Jo will have a different answer to us too, maybe, because she's obviously written a whole range of books about different things.
Yeah.
So great to hear.
Yeah, I mean, and actually, I was going to say, you stole my line about moulding, Jade, but 100%,
oh,
because
really?
children don't have any preconceptions, they don't have any judgments, they're so inquisitive to learn. And as I said, for me, actually, it was older children actually then having a stigma or being embarrassed about it. And for me, the worst bit as a teacher was the children with different conditions or disabilities or whatever it was, they were kind of whispering and they were embarrassed or ashamed about it, you know, because they didn't want to stand out. And I was like, because it's not a normality and all of these mainstream kids haven't had a life of that growing up, they therefore know nothing about it. So by that age, you know, it is a thing and they are staring and they are asking questions. And, you know, grown-ups are not very good in situations where, you know, we don't know what something is or why someone needs something. Whereas children, you know, they just want to learn and they just want... So if they're seeing characters that have an insulin pump, or, you know, if they're dyslexic and they're using a different colour overlay to write on, and they're seeing that around them and they're reading books where, you know, they've got these visual... pictures of all of those things happening, it just removes that stigma from day one and it makes it, you know, not a thing, if that makes sense. And for me, from a personal note as well as teaching, I've got two young daughters, and again, I was sort of sitting and reading with them, and the information they absorb from, you know, some awful books. You know, there's a books about, I don't know, a unicorn with a magic hairbrush, and they take it as gospel, and they learn so much from it, and they can, you know, they can reel it off to everyone afterwards about, oh, and this happened and then this happened. And I just, for me, I just thought, how amazing would it be if everything they're absorbing actually then had a relevance in the world? And, you know, they then read this amazing book about diabetes, or, you know, like Max's book about, you know, someone like Iron Man, and then they go in and they see that in real life. And it's actually just, oh, cool, yeah, I know about that. I've read about that. And it's just not a thing, if that makes sense. So I think it's so important just to have these relatable characters and to see it across the board, really.
Absolutely. I think it's you've got to make differences visible. Disabilities need to be visible. They need to be seen to be understood. And that's the whole point of why I think all three of us have got our three books here tonight, isn't it?
Yeah. It's like you say, Max is not, you know, you don't hide away from it, Max, no. Do you? You know,
because if I never had the pump, I would have probably never made this book and be all across the world.
I don't know, Max, because I think you're such a special little guy that you would have done something regardless of whether you got that pump or not. I think I'm pretty sure you would have.
Yeah, thanks, Jade. You would have, Max, definitely.
Yeah.
Good lad.
Okay, thanks, guys. I'll let you decide which order that you want to answer the next question in. But what's the message behind the book? What's the book about? Who's it for? What was the process of writing the book? And how long did it take?
Lots of parts to that question, isn't there? Do you want me to go first, guys? I can't remember what all the parts were now.
Yeah. Oh, you can go first, Jane, because you can't remember the parts. ignore me.
So yeah, I know. I need to do it now. Otherwise, like, my ADHD tendencies are just going out. Everything will just got out of my head. So, yeah, so I think the message behind Daisy Donald is it makes her special. It makes her different. It is her superpower. And she can get through anything with the right support around her. It's kind of... it's hard to talk about Daisy Donald at the moment without wanting to talk about Daisy Donald the show. But Daisy Donald the book is very much it's definitely a journey of acceptance for Daisy, and just learning that this makes what makes you special. The kind of process of writing the book, I was on a time scale because I had approached JDRF about doing it. I approached them in the summer, I think it was June, July time. And then they said, can we get it out? Can you do it for World Diabetes Day? And obviously, as everyone will know, in this kind of conversation, who's speaking tonight, is that actually... it takes a while to get things illustrated and printed and things like that. So I was quite pushed. I had about a month to get the words done, and I redrafted and redrafted and redrafted and sent it to people that I trust and their opinion, on one of them being my dad, which he'll be happy to hear that. But I sent it to people who I trust and got their kind of feedback, and met with a wonderful illustrator who I knew because our kids danced together, and her daughter was also adopted like my children, and we had lots of SEN disability stuff in common, so I got on really well with Hayley Smith, who illustrated the book, and I put it to her, and she got the illustrations done in less than 2 weeks, and we managed to get it all printed. And so that was the kind of actual, like, physical process of getting the book written. I'm trying to remember, it was quite a few people I sent it to and got feedback from, but I think that's the best thing to do. Send it to people whose opinions you trust, take their constructive criticism on board, and keep making it better and better. That was my answer to that. I think there was probably some parts I missed out. Sorry if there was.
Yeah, I'll jump in there, because actually I've just realised that I missed out a part from the previous one where I didn't tell any of you guys what my book is called. So apologies for that. But so mine is Be a Badger with Type 1 Diabetes. So all of my books, they're all characters. They're all animals, and they all go to the same school. So again, you've got Dylan, a dog with dyslexia, Tariq, a tortoise with Tourette's, and so on. So for me, the important kind of the aspects, I guess, if you like, from my books is, although they've all got their different conditions and different attributes about them, and each of their own books kind of explores a little bit more about that, the kind of overriding message is they're just friends and they're just doing everyday stuff. So in Bee's book, they actually go on a school trip. So again, it's almost meant to highlight that, you know, just because she's got diabetes, it doesn't mean she can't, you know, go and have fun with her friends and join in on stuff. But at the same time, it obviously does have kind of the subliminal messages that, yes, you know, she's got a diabetes nurse, and it takes a little bit more sort of planning in order to get everything she needs. And just the actual sort of checking the pump and stuff throughout the day and all that kind of thing. As I said, kind of to my point before, it's about that. The kids, you know, it's not meant to be necessarily an educational resource, like it's just a fun, enjoyable children's book. But within the book and within the story, there's just these little key sort of bits of information that hopefully our children, our sponges, are just kind of absorbing. And yeah, for me, sort of writing it was very similar to Jade. I did, obviously, for me, I did a huge amount of research, because I do not have diabetes myself. So actually, for me, obviously, it is incredibly important to get the information accurate and correct. So I met up with quite a few different mums. I reached out through JDRF and actually spoke to, had some kind of meetings with them about how their children feel about the different aspects of diabetes, what kind of attributes and qualities they feel I have, to sort of get as well-rounded an image that I could of the children and of what it's like to have type 1 diabetes. So yeah.
That's good. Is our turn? We're in?
Yeah.
We're in. So, Max, do you want to try and tell them a little bit about what the story is?
Okay, then. So what our book is about is a big town called Beta Town that is protected by a cube. Everyone has type 1 there. They're protected by this cube, so they don't have to look at their pump. It will alarm. The cube does it, like, for them. And there has to be a guard for this cube because the villain, King Carb, well, that some people know about,
he's trying to steal it.
Is trying to pinch the cube. So Beta Town, like...
So it needs it, doesn't it? To keep everyone safe. So somebody has to volunteer to look after. So there's a food festival, isn't there?
Yeah, and everyone's like going there. And if that cube gets taken away, it'll just be...
They'll all get on well.
Yeah.
So some special little boy called Max, he puts his hand up and volunteers to look after it while everyone's having fun at the food festival. Is that right?
Yeah.
And what happens?
King Carb. Well, I was looking out the window, watching all the fun and food festival. I forget about the button that I need to press. King Carb and his men, the Carbonites, come marching in, and they pinch the cube. And I forget. So later on in the story, the Mayor Bolus tells me about this insulin pump that's in not just any cupboard, a golden cupboard. And if I put on the insulin pump, I will basically turn into Captain Lantus.
And you turn into Captain Lantus and you save the day? You can't tell them, can you? Because if they bought the book, they won't know.
Well, yeah, if you've got the book, then you know. If you haven't, then maybe find out.
Yeah. So the writing process of the book was, like I say, me and Max sort of sat downstairs. It was called Bolus Man first, wasn't it? It was called Bolus Man, and we both had a piece of paper each, and we would... So Max would write the first few, like, on a page, and then I would do a bit, and then Max would do a bit, just to see where the story went. And we were having a bit of fun and games with it, really, weren't we, at first? And the original story was Medtronic, wasn't it? Because that's the pump that Max has got, so we were going to call the hero Medtronic, but we weren't able to do that because of the branding and everything, so we couldn't do that. So from there, I when Max had gone to bed, I went to bed and I couldn't sleep because my mind was in overdrive, just thinking again about when he first received the pump, the idea about an Avenger, a superhero that would make a difference to children, that especially that have an insulin pump. And I just couldn't sleep. So I wrote it down, wrote everything down best I could, went through it. And like you, Jade, yourself, I give it to some people to read and see what they thought of it. And I sent it to a company called Bear With Us Productions, they're called. And I asked them their opinion of it to see what they thought. And I, at the time, I thought, well, you know, this is a pipeline. I've never written a book before, so chances are it's never going to go anywhere. But within sort of 24 hours, they got back to us and said, you know what, this will work. We love the story. It's magical. It's characters. It's there's a, you know, a good plot to it and everything. We want to illustrate it. So what happens with that is they take the manuscript, and then they illustrate. So they send us pictures of what they think the character will look like. And then me and Max would sign it off to say, yeah, you know, that's how we want him to look. And it took about 3 or 4 months from sort of the idea, about 3 months, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And then to the part where they got the book. And again, like I said before, it was just before lockdown. So I just said to my wife, like, do you know what? If I lose my job, then fine. But I'm going to put it on a credit card. I'm going to get it done. And if I don't sell one book, it doesn't matter. It's because when I see Max at his school reading this book in front of his school friends about him, with his name all over the front of it and everything, will be priceless. It will be worth every penny, you know, and anybody who wants to chase me for what I owe on the credit card can, because if I can't pay it, I can't pay it if I ain't got a job. But it was just that thing around, we just wanted to bring it to life. And now we have, we've never looked back. Some of the most proudest moments was World Book Day, wasn't it?
Yes. Like, about a few kids, well, they could have picked any hero, but they picked me, Captain Lantus. They even dressed up as me as well.
They dressed up as you, didn't they? They go to school. Yeah. So it's just been a, it took a long time for the process to get it from sort of on paper to illustration. The second book, we've got two books, but the second book was more difficult because the illustrator had left the company that we had the first book done by. So the company that did our first book was sort of saying, well, we can redo it, we can do your second book, but the illustrations will all be different. So our illustrator, he lives in Mexico. So it's a bit of a trust thing with the guy, but you probably agree with some of the illustrations look brilliant. So we want to keep it that way and keep it all in uniform and maybe bring out a third one, maybe.
Maybe. You never know.
Breaking news, maybe. So that's us. That's pretty much our book.
You guys reminded me then, because obviously you used some sort of like publishing company to do and you got your illustration and everything done.
Yeah.
Actually, I missed a bit of the story out with Daisy. It depends on how my brain works. Daisy was getting published by Penguin, and I pulled out because they weren't going to have it ready in time for World Diabetes Day 2019, and they wanted me to hold off for a whole extra year. But I don't think I could have waited like a whole extra year. And I said no. I will self-publish because I want it ready for then, because in my mind that's when it was happening and my brain couldn't deal with that change. So it might have been a really silly decision, but at the same time I think it would have taken me a really long time to kind of see any sort of monetary value of what I did from them, because it's quite difficult with publishers, isn't it?
And you know what, Jake, with publishers, so we self-published. The company that did it, they just illustrated it, and then all the rights everything come our way. So what we end up with is a PDF, and then we have to take that PDF and go and get it printed. Now people did approach us when we first did it and said, you know, do you want to go with an agency or a publishing company? And we had no idea. We've got no idea what we're doing at that point. We still haven't really. Yeah. We're learning as we're going still. But it's, you know, I'm a dinosaur when it comes to social media and been learning the last couple of years to try and keep building it up and building it up for me and Max. But I think with the publishing thing, I spoke to somebody right at the start, and it just felt a little bit like they would take away what we're trying to achieve from it. Like, as in,
they take away the control. I like to be in control. Wanting to be in control, I think.
I just didn't want them to have the control of it at all. I'd rather print them off and sell them, because we sell them to then be able to donate them to keep the printing cost going. Because it's printing costs not cheap, and when we're sending to America and Australia and things like that, it's not cheap either. When it comes to postage, especially when they're ordering, or you know, we're sending them to clinics in Australia, and it's like 15, 20 bucks sometimes. So it just costs a lot. Yeah,
and not to like complain too much about the Royal Mail, but man, their prices. McDonald's come out, postage prices have changed so many times.
It would be quicker for me to fold the book up into a paper aeroplane and just chuck it out my window and it would get there a lot quicker.
I'm sure you guys have got loads more questions for us now. We'll stop chit chatting. Well, I know we're here to do that, but
don't worry, guys. This is what we love. We love when people have these very fun conversations and share their experiences. We just can't. We don't want done for liability in Royal Mail. So I just need you to be aware. We are not in any way insinuating Royal Mail are good nor bad, nor anywhere in between. We can't say we disagree or agree with you in any way, shape, or form. Even though we all know how to about it, so we'll not.
I was just going to say, just before we move on, just I actually am in complete agreement with the other guys that actually self-publishing does mean it gives you more control over where you want the books to go, who you want to read them, what the story should be, and like your message, and make sure that doesn't get changed, which I think is hugely important. And also, so again, 10% of all of my books go to different charities, so B goes for JDRF. And as you both have said as well, like actually it's so important to then have the control and have the pot, if you like, to be able to distribute where you want the money to go. And I think from talking to you guys, and we all know that our books have come from a place in our heart where we want to try and make a difference, and we want, and actually going through a huge publishing company, as much as sometimes that might seem the easiest or kind of nicest option, I don't think is the best option for what we're trying to achieve and what we want to do with the book. So it's nice. It's lovely to hear people on the same page and stuff. So
yeah.
I like that. Same page.
We don't need Penguin.
To be honest, Penguin was just being greedy. So, I'm sorry, you know, you've got no disclaimer. Sorry, that's just my opinion. No one else's opinion.
Yeah, no, we had a guy trying to, take it from us. And I, like you just said, Joe, I just felt no, because that's, you want it for your own benefit. I want it for everyone else's benefit. Yeah. You're trying to help other people, and you're just trying to line your pockets.
Yeah, you do get like strangely protective over them as well, though, don't you? It's like, well, no, yeah, that's no, they're my characters. No, you can't take them.
Yeah, exactly. All right, unless it's a bit weird though when you've got characters like when you've got curtains and bed covers and wallpaper with Captain Lantis all over. It's a bit weird when people walk in the house. Only joking, it's not really like that. Or family photos are down and you've got Captain Lantis instead of your family.
How would you and Max feel if Marvel came knocking on your door though and wanted to own your characters? It might be different then, mightn't it?
Oh, that might be different, yeah. What do you think of that, Max?
I could be friends with Iron Man.
You could, couldn't you?
Yeah. Oh, imagine that.
Marvel.
The epic partners.
You could be in it.
Yeah. Future.
Yeah.
It's coming in the future.
Yeah, that would be a different thing. That would be something I'd seriously have to think about.
So, love that whole conversation we've just had there. It has been fantastic. Now, we've kind of spoke about characters. So I'll not ask the full question, but what I am going to ask, and I'm going to merge two of them together so that it makes it feels like it works well for it. So who's your favourite character in the book and why? And with this book, what sort of message do you want people to get from it in terms of how do you want them to feel when they're reading the book? And again, this is open to whoever wants to go first. So just fire away.
I'm going to fire away again. Is that okay?
Yeah.
You know what it is? I just think it's my brain will forget what we're talking about. I mean, I'll start talking about something completely different if I don't just go on the question. So it's, I think with Daisy Donald, obviously, I'm going to have to say Daisy Donald, I think, with regards to the book, because, I mean, it's the title of the book. It's who kids dress up as on World Book Day. And I know that Max touched on that before, like kids on World Book Day dressing up as his character is literally the most special thing in the world. And what I would say is when it comes to the show, so in Daisy Donald, there's a monster. Well, there's monsters, actually. It comes different. They change throughout the book. And actually, I think what my answer might be a little bit different if it comes to the show, because there's a monster called Steady Eddie. There's Lawmore, High Sky, and Steady Eddie. And Steady Eddie is like the monster she likes the best because he represents when her blood sugar's steady. And he's just, he's not even a he, he's a she. But like, I don't know why I referred to him as a he. But he was played by a female. So he's just really lovable. But when it comes to the book, it has to be Daisy because it's all about her. And the message to be like taken away. Oh gosh, did I already answer this? I think I kind of already did before. But I want people who read it. That's it. You asked it a bit differently, didn't you? I want people who read it to hear themselves heard, see themselves seen, and hear themselves heard in the book. All the people with type 1 diabetes that read this, I want them to see it and go, "That's me. That's great," kind of thing. I think is what I want. Let me pass on to someone else now.
Yeah, no, I think that's brilliant. I was going to say I think my favourite character answer is going to be a bit cheaty because all of my characters all interlink across the different books. I like that, you know, it's for me, it's not about the condition they have controlling their identity. It's just a part of them. So actually, be in the diabetes book, yes, she's going on a school trip and things, but then in the other books, she's very kind to her friends, or, you know, she's very helpful and very sensitive to another friend that's got a problem. So it's about seeing the different qualities come across through the different books. So that's allowed. I don't really think I've got a favourite character, because they all have their different aspects, which come through, you know, showing that they are well-rounded people with lots of various qualities and strengths. And yeah, and I think actually very similarly to Jade in terms of the message for my books, it's just about the, you know, whatever makes us us shouldn't stop you from doing whatever you want to do. Like, it's actually seeing people like you, seeing people around you who are like, you know, have different qualities, and just embracing who we are and what makes us different, I think.
Yeah. So me and you, Max?
Yeah.
Do you want to tell them who your favourite character is?
Well, it's my favourite character is me, myself, Captain Atlantis. Because, well, why not?
Yeah, why not? So, yeah, so Captain Atlantis is your favourite.
Yep.
So, what else? So, what? So with Captain. What's the message?
Our message is that whoever gets this book, that they feel like a superhero, not just any type of kid with type 1 diabetes. An actual superhero.
So you don't have to hide away and be, and they can open up about it, can't they?
Yeah.
So like you said there, Joe, as well, Max would be my favourite character in the book as well. Because there's things in the book, especially the second one, where Max makes unselfish choices, as in the second book especially, isn't it? Where you've got your superpowers and it's sports day. And there's a character in the second book that's it's actually my niece. It's Max's cousin, called Poppy Star. And she's the fastest runner at school. She gives up all of her time to practicing her running. And even though Max knows that this year he can win the race, it sort of ends, the book ends where he has a race with Poppy Star and he can get a win, can't you?
Yeah.
But we've got to tell them or not? We're not allowed to, really, are we?
Well, if you, like I said with the first one, if you have the book, then
you'll know who wins.
Maybe if you don't have the book, maybe
buy it. So you won't know. But yeah, just things like that. Just that unselfishness that's in the book with that character, especially. But definitely the message is there is just to give children that have type 1, and especially the ones that have an insulin pump, a character they can certainly relate to. But like I said earlier with Max, it's really allowed him to open up and talk to his friends about it, but in a way that they understand superheroes, you know, the Avengers and everything, and they constantly ask him about it. So yeah, it's really good, isn't it? One of the things, just off not off topic, but one of the brilliant things at his school was, especially when he read Captain Atlantis to all of his school friends and everything. Since that, and I don't think they do it so much now, Max, but they did certainly last year and the year before, is that every time Max's pump went off, everybody in the class at the same time would all shout, "Max's pump's going off," didn't it?
That was when I was 4 years old.
All right, how old are you now?
10.
Well, time flies, doesn't it? Time flies. So yeah, that's our favourite character.
Yeah. Thanks for that, guys. Right, next question. Mental health is very important. What do you do for your mental health? And do you find that the books have helped others? And is that your hope that they will help others in the future?
I love that question. I just giggled as soon as she said, "What do you do for your mental health?" I just started giggling. It was such a long list of crazy stuff I could say. I think for me, I go and have a coffee whenever I'm not got anything on straight after school run. I go and have a coffee with any friends that might be available. We have a little coffee WhatsApp group, and I just put in anyone for coffee, because I go and offload. And it's usually not necessarily about type 1, it's usually more to do with bringing up children with additional needs and that kind of stress. But that's what I do for my mental health. I've forgotten the second half of the question now. It was something to do with, I can't remember the second half of the question. Does someone want to take over?
Do you find the books have helped others, and is that your hope that they will help others?
Yeah, you know what, actually, that is one of the lovely things. I sell my books through Etsy, and so many people leave you a review. I've found on Etsy. I don't know where do you guys sell your books? That would be interesting to know quickly.
Yeah, to be honest, we just sell ours from our website really, isn't it? And yeah, on Facebook page. Again, we're very proper dinosaurs at it, really. I've looked at it, but we pretty much just divert everybody to our website, really, to buy them from there. So we've got a Wix website, haven't we?
Yeah.
And where do you do yours from, Joe? Where are yours sold to?
Well, mine exactly the same. So I've also got a Wix website, because I've got a kind of distribution set up. So you can, if you search them on WH Smith and Amazon and Barnes & Noble, they'll come up. But really frustratingly, they won't stock them in their actual stores until I'm kind of hitting, thousands and thousands of sales online. So I still can kind of get much more of the revenue to then go back into marketing and my donations and everything from people coming directly to my website. So that is normally where I still kind of send people to go to.
Yeah, so I do mine through Etsy, and I think Etsy asks them for a review after every sale. So I get tons of reviews and lots of feedback, which in answer to the questions say how wonderful this book is and how their kid wants to read it every night and how they've taken it into school, read it to their class and things like that. So I think it does, with regards to mental health, I think it does do what I wanted it to do in that respect. I wanted kids with type 1 to read it and feel like they were heard, feel like they could relate. So yeah, I definitely feel like to get a lot of feedback saying that it does do that job. Yeah, Etsy, it's just like a posh eBay, I would say. It's dead simple. They don't take much at all as well. I would recommend Etsy. I don't have any bad words to say about that. But obviously that's just my own opinion. Just putting that in there for you hosts.
Like you say, we're a little bit like yourself, Joe. We sort of rely on the book sales to help us keep going with it, really. Because like I say, it costs the marketing and everything else, but we've got so far to go still with it, and we it's just keeping it going, isn't it, Matt?
Yeah,
all the time. But from the questions there, I think our book, we get reviews and we get a lot of feedback on Facebook and Instagram and things, and it's always really positive. And going back to what we were saying there about, the couple of children now, or three children, whatever it was, that have dressed as the character on World Book Day. And, just seeing that just means the world to us. So from sort of our mental health as in parents, I think the books helped us as well, because seeing what Maxie's created and seeing the impact it's had on others really helps us a little bit as well, because as a parent of somebody, of a child of type 1, it's not easy. It's very difficult. Especially like the things that people don't see outside of the world, as in, Max will have a good 8-9 hours sleep, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
The alarm going off and, my wife's out of bed, twice, three times a night sometimes. You always know when a sensor's going to break down, because it will always break down at 12 o'clock at night, and then you've got to wait 2 hours for it to warm up and so on and so on. So it's hard work. But this has been such a positive impact on us all. And when you get, like things like this, or you get messages from parents and they're in, Melbourne, saying what an impact this book's had on my son or daughter, it's priceless, amazing, isn't it? Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it?
I would say on that I completely agree, and I promise I'm not just saying this because I happen to be in a diabetes chat, but genuinely, of all my books, the most feedback I've had
about actually taking the book into school and showing their friends and, you know, proudly kind of looking at the picture. I think because obviously diabetes has such a visual aspect to it in terms of what a lot of my books and a lot of the conditions where you wouldn't know. And actually I've had so many amazing messages of just, my daughter took this into school, she loved showing them the illustrations where you can see that B has got an insulin pump and it looks just like mine. And actually 100%, like you said, it's for my own mental health, actually that feedback and knowing that people appreciate, I guess, what you're trying to do. And value it is an unbelievable feeling. And just to echo what the other guys have said as well, if, you know, when you do have a character on book day and you get that message, it is pretty unbelievable. I will be very honest, I've only had one so far. I'm hoping it's the first of many, and it's lovely, lovely feeling. So
I cry every time. It's so emotional to see someone dress up as a character that you've made up in your head, kind of thing.
Yeah. It's also like a massive thing for me. I said I've got two young daughters and I'm like, why have I not used those for promotional purposes? Why am I not sending them in every year on book day? You know, if they want to go as, I don't know, someone else, I should just be like, no, you need to go as a shine character. I need to really utilize what I've got.
Totally hold my hand up, and I sent my daughter in first World Book Day that Daisy was out. I sent my youngest Megan in dressed as Daisy Donald, and she asked to be Daisy Donald. I didn't
We did the same with Max. We got the costume made, and Max went in dressed as Captain Lantis, was really good. But now he's 10, and all his friends are there. It's a little bit more of a challenge, isn't it? Really getting you to dress up. He's like, Dad, do I have to wear that costume again? It'd be 21 and I'll still be going, go on, put your costume on. We're going out.
Max has got to really use his own advantage here. And in the next book, you've got to create something unbelievably cool and then be like, well, I'm going to dress up as this now. And, you know, you've got the power to do that.
Yeah, he has. What did you say earlier about me in the first book?
Oh, yeah, in the first book, he's way skinnier than he is in real life.
It's not very nice. Not very nice, is it, really?
That's what lockdown does for you.
Yeah, that's it, exactly. That is what lockdown does for you, yeah. And signing off the illustrations helps.
Guys, that has been amazing. So one thing that I'm sure we're all desperate to hear, and we are aware it's getting a bit late, and we don't want to have kids or anybody up too late, or people with kids that potentially need to go to bed soon, or you're trying to get them to bed at any time soon.
So I said that to bed. I said, don't disrupt me, just go to bed and give her a kiss early.
So what we would love from the diabetes community, would love to hear just a little abstract from one of your books. It doesn't need to be your one for diabetes, or it can be anyone. It doesn't need to be the first book, it could be the second book, the third book. We'd just love to hear a wee abstract and get to hear how cool these books are and share them with the community. And then once we've done that, I would love if you could also just do hashtag diabetes chat and put up where people can find you on social media, on your website, so that we can see if we can help drive some footfall into it for you and help support getting these books out further and wider for you again.
Okay, do you want to read that bit, yeah?
Okay.
So, Joe, are you okay with us going? Joe, you okay with us going?
Yeah.
So Max will read just a couple of pages from when in the book where he first becomes. So in this bit he's about to read, Max has just found the insulin pump. So he's just put it on. So you want to read a little bit of that, Max, for them?
Okay.
Stop it.
Wow, Max felt his body changing as energy filled him up. He started spinning around and round until a cloak flew out behind him. His body began to glow, and looking down, he saw he was wearing the most incredible outfit. Captain Lantis, a new superhero, was born. Max didn't stop to admire his transformation. Instead, he lifted his arms high
He jumped into the air and flew outside. He gasped. The people of Beta Town were lying on the pavements with no energy. The music had stopped playing. I have to save the day. I'm a superhero now. Captain Antis to the rescue.
We'll get there. Okay.
He flew as fast as he could towards Carb Town, catching up with the Carbonites on top of a hill. Okay. Using all of his superhero power, he pulled the cube out of their arms. Hey, the Carbonite shouted, give that back.
There you go.
That's it.
Is that okay?
Yeah.
Yeah, very good. I'm not sure. Am I right to go next, Shade? Although I think following that is a terrible idea.
Go for it.
Okay. Wow, I love the design, Alice said, looking at the dolphins and fish on the pouch. Thanks. My dad thought I was going to choose a flowery one, but this one was my favourite. B smiled. I used to have an injection to put the insulin in, but I prefer the pump as I find it easier. You can choose, though. I have a friend who uses an insulin pen to inject because she didn't want the pump. Their teacher ticked their names off on the register, and B and Alice got on the bus. Halfway through the journey, Bee mentioned to Miss Summers that she felt a bit shaky and unwell, so she did another check with her scanner. She showed the levels to Miss Summers, who passed Bee her snack bag, and Bee took out a jelly baby. Oh, are your glucose levels too low? Alice asked, pointing to Bee's jelly baby. Yes, well remembered, Bee nodded. Hopefully this will help them to level out, but I will need to check again in 15 minutes to make sure it's enough. Alice nodded and thought how clever Bee was to remember all of this. The rest of the journey seemed to go very quickly, and all of the children looked excitedly out of the window as the bus drove into the car park. They had arrived. Wow! Are we going to see a real-life shark like that inside? Charlie shouted, pointing at a big poster outside the aquarium. And I'm going to stop there, and you'll never know if they saw the shark inside or not.
I love it. I love it. I just went very aware. My daughter's downstairs and the telly has just gone up in volume. I hope you can't hear it.
Oh no, I can't hear it.
Good. I was like, don't turn it down, Melissa. But I can't shout it down to her. Like, I thought that was exciting. I need to buy your book. I really do need to buy your book. I want to know what happens next. I'll give you a little bit of Daisy, shall I? I'll go for it. For Daisy, she sometimes feels like it's all too much. She just wants to give up and kick it into touch. That's why her parents bought her invisible cape, to remind her that she's in charge and can keep it in shape. Every single morning, they tie it around her neck and tell her she always has them to keep her in check. But there are days even when this doesn't help and the monster just wants to kick, scream and yelp. It's like it's possessed by a nonsensical beast who just needs feeding, a never-ending beast. Or a big green alien with seven goggly eyes who just can't decide whether it's low or it's high. It's like the monster gets bored of behaving well and just needs to have a crazy mad spell. Let down its hair of worms and snakes and scream, look at me for goodness sake. But when Daisy has days very much like this, she spins her cape around and gives it a kiss. Then she clenches her fists and shuts her eyes and mutters to herself some words that are wise. I may be only little, I may be only slight, but I'm type 1 diabetic, so I can win any fight. You see, that's the thing Daisy has to tame. Type 1 diabetes is the monster's name. I'll leave it there.
Brilliant. Well done.
Brilliant.
Well, guys, that was amazing. I cannot believe how good all these books sound, and I have seen a few people tweet out that they must buy the books, and I'm going to be honest, I am going to have to go and get these books as well. And Max, your book sounds amazing, and I can't wait to get an opportunity to read your book. So I am going to go make it my mission today to go make sure I get the book. The same for yourself, Jade. I am so excited to go and hunt your book out in Etsy and purchase a copy of this book. And for yourself as well, Joe, I'm sure everybody else is the same. I cannot wait to get a copy of your book, because do you know what? See, when I was a kid I'm the same, Jade. I grew up in the 80s with diabetes as well. Yeah. There was something like this that it was, it was, everybody used to tell you the horror stories. And I am so happy that people are now telling the good side of diabetes, the good side of what living with diabetes can do, and the benefits that it gives you, and the power that it can give you, and the strength. So for that, I just want to say, and I'm sure everybody else will want to say the same as well, thank you so much for sharing your life experiences with us. And thank you for sharing your mum's experiences, Jade. Max, thank you for sharing your experiences and how you cope with diabetes. And Joe, thank you for doing all your research and going to people and asking questions rather than just taking the decision to write about something that you, as you say, you never knew much about. Thank you for going and hunting out that information and helping to try and break the stigma of diabetes. So thank you for everybody for that. I don't know if Claire, if there's anything you want to do before we wrap up, because I am very cautious that it's 9:30 and I don't want obviously Max to be up too late or any kids being up too late.
Just got one question really. What's the plan for the future for you all?
Should we go first, Max? Because Max is loving life at the moment because he's thinking, hang on, the more I can drag this out, the longer I can stay up. So he'll be off in a bit. So what are we going to do for the future, Max? What's on?
Maybe be on the big screen on like TV.
Is that what you want it to be?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think we also, one of the big things, like we said, we really do rely on the sales of the books and everything. So we've got so many things that we want to do. The biggest thing we want it to do is that we would love to see our book as well on as a care package for children that go on to an insulin pump. And so we have reached out to the NHS and different people, but it would just be great to be able to give them that, because that's the whole reason we wrote it. You know, so a child goes to the hospital, they choose to go on an insulin pump, and they get the insulin pump and they get a copy of our book. I think that's our biggest dream. You know, like Max said though, but you know, out the box dreams would be to see it as a cartoon or a show like yourself, Jay, where you've got a show and we can make it into something that somebody can go and watch. We've got a board game that we've just created, haven't we? Created a board game. But again, it's everything's a dream because it's just the cost of it to make it a reality. But hopefully, you know, we'll gradually. Well. Yeah, we've got an activities book as well, which we put together, and again, that would be something that we would love to. You know, we donate them to Stafford Hospital, but Stoke Hospital, where they've got the diabetes ward, is that we've give them some books there. So when if kids stay in overnight or they're newly diagnosed, that there's something there for them. That's pretty much our hope for Captain Lantus and what we've got going forward. That's where we are, isn't it, Max?
Yeah.
I think you guys hit the nail on the head there. We like it all depends on us selling books and keeping in order to keep creating, isn't it?
Yeah. You know what? I get asked so many times online, have you got any teddy bears? Have you got any teddy bears? You've got the costume. Can you design the costume? Every time I reach out to anybody and say, well, can you make the cost? Yeah, it costs you this much money. I'm like, well, I ain't got that much money. Teddy bears, but you're gonna have to order 1,000 of them. I don't want 1,000 of them. I can't afford 1,000 of them. So it's just one of those things where we do rely on that. It, the only way we can move it forward is that. But we don't. It's one of those things. I don't know if you're the same, Jane and Joe, but you never. So we do a GoFundMe now. I did a GoFundMe for the second book, but I hate asking. I'm not because it's not for that. We're not doing it for that. And I just think sometimes it's like you're asking for something. It's just not. I'm just not that sort of person. So I'm just relying on the sales of the books to give us the money to market it in the first instance, and then you know to keep the books going and getting them printed, and then we'll keep looking at future things. Because like I say, Matt, we've created this game which is a board game which we think would be great, but it's just putting it together and the teddy bears as well. But and the other thing is the pump pouches. You know, we've looked at pump pouches now as well to get them made with all the branding on it. But again, it's so expensive to do it. So many ideas, but we just can't bring them, not all of them to life, sort of thing.
And you do feel guilty asking people for money. I think what you have to remember is that you're not asking people for money to line your pocket. It's just for the cost of creating something. it's just to cover the basic costs.
to try and grow the business and do it further, right? And this is, I mean, like I say, I think we are all on exactly the same page, and it's just there are so many avenues you could do and go down. I mean, similar to you, Gary, that actually just a kind of almost like a franchise, and when you've got toys or when you've got product, like for you, the pouch would be incredible to have Captain Lanta's out on the, personalized pouches would be amazing for kids. I think the only thing that you guys haven't said, which I would love to do with mine as well, is almost to run like workshops in school, so having days where whether it's a health and well-being week or when we're on dyslexia awareness week and the different occasions, to actually have my characters, which as I said are all lovable animals, whether it's a dog or a tortoise or a badger, actually to go into school and kind of run these interactive workshops and chatting to the kids and doing activities and games, but again all to raise awareness and get people talking basically and normalizing what makes us different, I think would be incredible. But it's the possibilities are endless, but the money is
the money part
not big enough.
That's the thing. Like I say, it's just that the bigger any of this gets, for yourselves as well, it normalizes it even more, because it's something that's in people's faces all of the time. But like you say, when you try and raise the funds, it always feels like I always feel guilty about raising the funds, because I always think that people think that way. I know they don't always think that way, you know what I mean, especially with the climate as it is nowadays as well. So but we'll keep going. We'll keep plodding. And like you say, it only takes one review from one person on a Facebook message or a comment or something like that just drives you, 15 steps forward to keep wanting to do it and keep trying to bring those things to life, I suppose.
Yeah,
that's so true.
Max is going to go to bed now, guys. So he wants to say, you're going to say goodnight to everybody, Max. Is that going to say goodnight to everybody?
Yeah.
Go on then. So say thank you to everybody, and then
thank you for coming, everyone.
Night, night,
Max. He's a man of few words, Max. Is he? Well, I'll see you in the morning, all right, mate?
Sweet. Very nice to hear you, chatting, Max. I thought you were inspirational, so thank you.
Thank you, Max.
Good boy. Bye. Good boy. See you, Max.
Left.
I'm sorry.
No, go on.
I was going to say, he was thinking, hang on, he just whispered to me, he said, is there another 100 questions yet, Dad? Because I'm like, no, there isn't.
For Daisy Donald, the reality next steps is the theatre show. It's a musical show full of songs, and it's touring, the plan is for it to tour in spring, summer 2024. So if you see it coming to a theatre near you, please do book tickets, come along, because that's the kind of all the kind of merchandise that came out of Pricks, my show, and where Daisy Donald sold on Pricks Product Shop, is the kind of the show drives a lot of merchandise sales. So I'm thinking the show will then drive a lot of book sales and then that means I can make more stuff and do more stuff. But Daisy Donald Theatre Show is coming in 2024 and is looking like it's going to be the thing I'm most proud of ever. And the dream is that's a proof of concept to get Daisy Donald the cartoon. That's my plan. But we'll see where that goes.
Amazing. Sounds really exciting. Good luck.
Thank you.
Just one last question for you all. Where can people follow you on social media or your websites?
I'm on every social media, I think. I don't think there's one I'm not on. And I'm at Pricks Official on all of them. And with regards to website, if you put pricksofficial.co.uk in, it will drive you to my Blackbird Creative Arts website, which is what I create all my work through, my theatre producing and film producing type business.
Nice. Yeah, we are. I am at the Shine Books again across all social media. I'm even dabbling on TikTok, which I'm probably about 15, maybe 22 years too old to be doing, but we're giving it a go. At the Shine Books. And then website is www.shine-books.com.
Thank you. So Captain Lantis, yeah, so we're on all social media as well. So I think it's Clantis77 in Clantis on Twitter here. We're on Facebook as The Adventures of Captain Lantis. And the book is pretty much on sale on CaptainLantis.com. So that's pretty much where we are. Everything on the website as well will direct you to the social media platforms.
Oh, yeah, I should have said that. You buy the book on Clicks Products on Etsy. But you'll find the link on my website and social media anyway.
Guys, thank you so much for taking your time out to come and speak to us at Diabetes Chat, share a little bit about your book and all your adventures with diabetes, and sharing your life story of how you've managed with diabetes. And I know that Max is away, but just if you can let Max know that we are all very grateful for, at such a young age, for somebody to be trying to change how people view diabetes and removing stigma and making it about a positively reinforcing that diabetes isn't as bad as what people make it out to be. We just want to say thank you to Max for that, because at 6-year-old, as I say, I don't think I'd been able to do this. So I just want to say that Max is an inspiration for me, and I'm sure he's an inspiration for many people in this chat. Because if I was at that age, I don't even think I had the courage to have told people that I had diabetes. So thank you so much for that. If you can let them know that we're all very grateful for him doing this for us and sharing all of this knowledge that he's got for such a young age. Jade, we are...
Thank you, Gary. I will do.
No, that's... We really do mean that as well, Gary. At 6-year-old, it's like... It just gets you emotional, because it takes you back to your own childhood when I used to hide being diabetic because I didn't want people to know, because you sat there and you felt different. And for a kid at this age to be doing that, it is phenomenal. So what a great kid you've got there, Gary. And I am sure that you and your wife are super proud of him, and what amazing parents she's are as well to support your kid through all these things that he wants to do. So thanks very much for that.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Thank you.
And Jade, we are so excited for Daisy to come to theatres. Please keep us informed when it goes on tour. Just use the hashtag or let somebody know, let Tom know or something. And we'll be there booking our tickets to go see you. We might actually make it a Diabetes Chat day out, night out, stroke. I don't know what outing, but it will be some form of outing.
I think that sounds like any excuse for us all to meet up is brilliant, but a Daisy Donald one's even better.
So keep us informed so that we can all get our tickets booked, so that we can all get them for the same time and days. And Joe, thank you so much for coming on and sharing not just your knowledge on diabetes that you've gained from asking questions, but also making us aware that there is other conditions out there. There's other things that people find challenging. Thank you for helping with all of this, specifically things around about ADHD, dyslexia, Tourette's and autism. I cannot wait to see where you go and how far you take this, because books like this are really changing the way the world views these conditions, the way the world addresses children and even adults with these conditions. So thank you so much for that, and thank you for sharing all this knowledge that you've gained through asking questions and through being part of an advocate for not just the diabetes community, but a wider community that a lot of people don't like to talk about or don't like to share their experiences. So thank you so much for that. And as I say, we cannot wait to see and hear about all the great things that you're going to achieve throughout the years to come.
Oh, thank you so much. And as I said, it's an exciting time for us all. And hopefully the tide is changing and all of these things are going to be normalized and you know, it's a much brighter future. But as I said before, it's an absolute privilege genuinely to speak to you guys and chat to you all and hear all your stories and your amazing things that that you know Gary and Max are doing and Jade's doing. So yeah, thank you so much for having me on. It's been a pleasure.